to the service, if you don't mind. Let's sing a song, He Is Here.
Hallelujah.
He is here.
Message of this hour is we don't have to question or not whether he's with us, because you know we know he's with us because I'm in his word,
right.
And he will be wherever his word is. Amen.
Right.
Where the carcass is, that's where the eagle is going to be gathered, and that's where we can truly fellowship. You know, I talk to a lot of people, and you'll see people you can't get a smile or a grin or anything out of them until you talk about some kind of football game or a basketball game or something, and you'll see lights come up and you'll see grandmas, grandpas, young'uns all together get excited about it. That don't get really me very excited too much.
Yes.
But you know, I can have the worst of days and you start talking about the Lord.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what, that old urine thumbing inside me just starts lighting up.
Amen.
And you know, you can't contain it. It's something inside you, because you know what? That's who I am. That's me.
Amen.
And you're right here and you're looking around and you're like, this ain't me. This ain't, I've got, almost like you're stuck in a barnyard because we ain't took our, because we got this still. You know, this old flesh. You feel that way, but you know, when we talk about that, that reminds me, oh yes, that's where I'm going. Amen. I love the Lord this morning.
Right.
If you don't mind, let's go to Genesis chapter 37. Let's go to read verses 2 through 4, and she'll have these on the multimedia for you. I do love to see everybody turning their Bibles. That's a wonderful thing. I want to speak to you this morning on sanctify your hearts. Sanctify your hearts. And starting in verse 2, it says, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Let's just pray. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for this opportunity to be here this morning. I ask you, Lord, to help me get myself out of the way, Lord. And Lord, speak exactly what you have laid on my heart in the way that you've said it, Lord. Lord God, I let not the words fall to deaf ears, Lord. But Lord, may it fall on deep, fertile ground, Lord, that you can stir the seed on the inside, oh God. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Joseph was different than his brothers, and his brothers hated him for it. Is that right?
Right.
Joseph began having dreams, and these dreams, he would see that they were bowing down to him, and that just fueled the fire. You know, there's something on inside. Joseph didn't ask to be like that. You know, Joseph didn't wake up one day and say, you know what, I think I'm going to be different than my brothers, I think I'll just be different today. There was something on the inside of him, hello? Something inside of us. We didn't decide one day, I think I'll be a message believer, I'm going to be an oddball, but there was something on the inside that went to stir him. Joseph began having dreams, and that they all bowed down to him, which made it worse. And their father made a difference, showing how much he loved Joseph by making him a coat with seven colors. And Jacob sent Joseph to check on his brethren that were supposed to be feeding the sheep. And after much searching, he found them in Dothan. And if you know the Bibles, I'm sure you know this. I'm not teaching anything you don't know. But his brethren threw him into a pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites. And then they covered his coat with blood to make it look like he was killed by a wild beast. So I want you to really grasp the situation that happened to Joseph. Amen. Joseph was a man that was born just like we were, but he was different. And because he was treated different. And you know, it's the way you're treated a lot of times is what molds you the way you are.
Right.
Have you ever noticed you take a dog that you haven't seen and you get this dog and you walk up to him, all of a sudden that dog will start getting down automatically. It's because that dog had experienced something in his life that made him feel that way.
Right.
It built his character in him to where that dog is timid. He's always afraid. And that's a lot of the way character is with us as we go through life. And it's hardships that we go through that makes us the way we are. It's what brings a real humility. You take someone that don't go through a lot of hardships. First time they go through a hardship, they usually don't handle it too well. So these brothers, they absolutely hated Joseph. And I want you to really grasp this. We all want to be loved. We all want to have friends. This is natural. We all desire to have fellowship. But this is a man that had brothers that hated him. This is a man that when he went to go try to talk to his brothers, I'm sure maybe a part of him was excited when he'd go see his brothers, and they hated him. He said, here he comes again. You know what? Let's just do away with this guy. Let's kill him. But you know, and you know the story, how they ended up throwing him into a pit. So let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose.
Right.
Sometimes in life, things happen and we lose control. But God's still in control. Amen?
Yeah. Right.
In the midst of Joseph's life right there, I'm sure he felt like he had lost control. He had lost the steering wheel. Let's go to Genesis chapter 39, verses 2 through 6. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Sound like a message believer, don't he? And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put in his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he was made him overseer in the house and over all the land that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for... I want you to catch this. It says that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Now God blessed the Egyptian just because Joseph was there at his house during the valley of Joseph's life. God blessed that Egyptian's house. If God will bless an Egyptian's house because Joseph was there, how much more will God bless our house without the Egyptian?
Right.
You say amen? How much more will God bless me? If God will bless, because it said he blessed his house, he blessed his field, he blessed everything that he had, just because Joseph was there. We can kick the Egyptian out.
Right.
I mean, you can have the Egyptian and still be blessed. But kick the Egyptian out, and you, I mean, amen.
Right.
You see where we are.
Right.
I want to kick him out. Amen. Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph, and think of this woman. So we want to slow down, because I think it's real easy to read a scripture really fast and you completely miss all the goodness
right.
that you can get out of that.
Yeah.
It's like, you ever notice that you can cook the food on Thanksgiving, you cook really hard, hours, 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 and less than 15 minutes, it's gone. Slow down and savor that thing. Take a bite of it, just close your eyes just a moment and say, my goodness, that's good. You know, I think that's what we ought to do this morning.
Yeah.
Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph. Now, think of this woman. This was a leader in Egypt that could just about have any woman that he wanted. So I doubt that this was some snaggletooth, ugly woman. Hello. I don't think this was this some woman that was overweight, so to speak. Nothing wrong with that. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to put myself in a position to get myself in trouble. but you know what I'm saying. I can say all day long I've overcome cigarettes, but if I'm not tempted with cigarettes, that's not really overcoming.
Right.
But you know what? A real temptation is when it is right in front of you. It's right here. And it's everything this thing could ever want. That's temptation. Say amen. That's when the real temptation takes place. And we're talking about a man that was in the house. He was given all the authority. And have you ever noticed whenever you're given authority, it's real easy to get relaxed. It's real easy to say, you know what, I can do this. I can step outside the border because I've been given authority. Because that's because you don't have character. Brother Tony and I were talking about that this morning just a little bit. It's character. It's power without character. It's satanic. But this man was a man that was tempted of something right here in front of everybody, and perhaps nobody would ever even know anything about it. Just him and Potiphar's wife. Think of this woman. This was a leader in Egypt that could have just about any woman he wanted. So I doubt this was some ugly woman. It was. It would have to be a great temptation to the flesh. And Joseph told her, "All has been given unto me other than you." In other words, I can eat of all the trees of the garden, but I ain't touching this one. I'm supposed to stay away from this tree. And the devil, he works to make you not content with what you have and to make you feel like you're missing something. Amen?
Amen.
Joseph told her, all that has been given unto me other than her, and how can I do this wickedness and sin against God? Joseph was a man that during the midst of his temptation, he said, I'm not going to sin against my God. Because you know what? I love my God more than I love this temptation. Young people, listen to me. That old devil will put temptations out there. He'll bring something out there to where you can step out just a little bit, and he'll do it at times. He'll give you the perfect opportune time to where nobody will know about it. It'll be just you. You can do it. Just look real quickly. Nobody will ever know anything about it. Listen to me. God knows about it. Amen. And that's the one you got to worry about. I say worry about. That's the one you need to respect.
Right.
And why you do need to worry about, because there's repercussions. Because you can get past mommy and daddy a lot of times. You can get past the police officer. You know, I see the cop pass me, so I'm going to speed now. You know, I can pass. But God's watching. And that's the one we need to answer to. Amen.
Right.
Joseph, he told her, he says, I'm not going to sin against God. And devil, he'll bring the perfect opportune times where it will look like nobody will know, but God will know, and the devil and you. And the devil will remind you every day about it. If Joseph would have laid with Potiphar's wife, not only would she have had a hook in him, but he would have sinned against God. And there is always a hook. I'm going to say that again. In temptation, there is always a hook. So that means, what do I mean by that? When you go fishing, you put a bait out there that looks appetizing to that fish. So I'm not going to put a shark on a bait and throw it out there and hoping I'll catch a bass. Because every bass with his right mind will look at that shark and run away from it. But I'm going to put a little slimy, juicy worm right out in front of that thing. And that bass will pass by the first time, and he'll say, oh no, I ain't messing with that. And he'll start smelling that old juicy worm, and he'll have to go back and get him some. And that's the way of a fisherman, is he'll put that hook inside there. There's always a hook. And in this temptation that the devil's going to put before you, there's always a hook. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9, and we're going to go through verse 20. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourself to every ordinance of the man. Let's read that again. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. And I want to stop and say this. We need to live a blameless life. And we need to live according to the ordinance of man. And don't break laws just because you know you can get away with it.
Right.
And that's the natural laws and the spiritual laws of what this word says. Amen. Verse 14 says, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and to the gentle, but also to the froward. It's easy to be subject to a gentle master. But it's the froward one. That's the one that's hard to deal with. And we need to respect our authority. I'm just going to stop here. But we need to respect the authority that is over you. Whether it's your boss at work, your teacher, your coach, your parents. You need to respect them. And I'm really seem like I'm going towards young people again. Always remember this. Respect your teachers and young ones. Because when you're talking, when you're elders, maybe you don't quite understand or maybe you don't quite agree with what they're doing, but they have to remember they've got experience and why they do certain things the way they do it. And if you try to override that, say, well, I don't think that, you're going to get yourself in trouble. So respect the authority that's above you. You know what happens to kids that don't respect authority? In school, they start out with detention. And then once you get out of school, it becomes jail. Is that right?
Right.
And you've got a spiritual children, church, that don't respect authority.
Right.
At first, it's bondage and sin here. Well, you're so bound all the time. You walk bound. You don't walk in victory. You feel defeated because you're bound. Now. But later on, there's a greater bondage that'll take place. But we can literally, it's insane to think of it, how we can walk literally absolutely free in liberty and peace and joy and happiness in our life, but we can actually bring ourselves into bondage. And the Lord gives us very clear answers of how to walk away from bondage. Now, I realize this ain't a sermon to make you want to jump and shout, but I promise if you'll just slow down and you'll listen to it, you'll walk a victorious life.
Amen.
Amen. I'd rather give you one of those than have you jump and shout and you ain't gained nothing. Let's just take the scriptures and let's really say, Lord, speak to me on these things. Verse 19, it says, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what is it if you then be buffeted for your faults? You shall take it patiently, but when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently as it is acceptable with God. And I'm going to say this, there's no glory in being buffeted for slackness. You can slack on your job and the teacher and the boss will just tear into you. You know, you got to get up here, you got to do the job, you got to do the job. You can say, oh, bless God, I'm being buffeted for the Lord's sake. No, you're being buffeted because you're slacking. Amen? It's great to be persecuted when you're walking in the Lord and you say, I'm not going to do these things. I know the boss wants me to do these things, but I'm going to do this way. And you can be buffeted that way. And you'll get blessed. And there's glory in that. But I want to say this as clear as I can. There is no glory in walking in sin and then the preacher have to bash your honey over and over and say, oh, bless God, I'm being persecuted for the Lord's sake. No, he's correcting you. Amen?
Right.
And I'll say the loudest amen, because I want to say, Lord, help me. I want to, you know, if you was to enter with me with my prayer closet, I feel like I've got to repent more than anybody I ever talked to.
because I live with me. I know who I look at in the mirror when I see myself. Now you're saying, Brother Daniel, that means you're walking, is it? No. It's because I fight this flesh, and I know this is the battleground right here. And you fight this battleground, and it makes me see, how do people go all day and all week without praying? I'm halfway through the day, I'm like, Lord, help me. I need help. Hello, anybody else like that? Am I the only one? If there ain't anybody else, I want you to meet me after service and show me how to do it. But you know what? That's where prayer is our lifeline. Prayer is the thing that when we pray, friend, that is what keeps our heart fertile where God can deal with us. But that's the one thing the devil will take away from you more than anything. And if you'll slow everything down from work, I realize I've got to do laundry. I realize I've got to do these things. But I am stopping. I am going to pray and say, Lord, help me. And you watch and see if your day don't change. The Lord will bless what you've done in that. And I don't want to keep rapturing on this, but get back to where the Lord wants me to go here. Colossians chapter 3. And just before we go, that I want to say a couple of things about the work too. Don't ride the time clock. Don't be an eye pleaser. Don't be asked again.
Brother Daniel, what does being an eye pleaser mean? That means if I'm the boss, and I walk up and Elijah's my employee, and I'm going to say, Elijah, this is the job. I want you to sweep the floors. And as long as I'm standing here, he's got the broom in hand. He's in perfect formation. And he is briskly sweeping the floor. Because I'm watching him. But then as soon as I walk away, he puts the broom down. He sits down in his chair. And he's been around me long enough, he knows what my footsteps sound like. He'll hear my footsteps coming up closer. He gets out of his chair. He takes formation. He grabs the broom. And he starts sweeping the floor. Hello.
Right.
That's an eye pleaser. That means you're just being good when someone's watching you. But it's whenever you do things when no one's looking. Because there's always one looking, amen? But it's whenever in the peripheral view, these right here, no one's looking. That's whenever the real you is really being tested. And don't be asked again. If you've been asked the first time to do something, do it. Because it's a sin to be asked again. That sounds good, don't it? It's a sin to be asked again. Hello, young people, old people. How many times the Lord tell us to do something, he has to ask us again. I want to be instant to where the Lord says, right, left. I want to be instant. I don't want to be asked again. If the Lord tells me to do something, I want to be sensitive to his leading where he says it. I don't want to wait. I want to right then. I want to turn. Pray, yes. Step, yes. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
Being led by the Spirit, the Lord speaking to your heart. He'll lay things on your heart. Do this. Be instant. Don't make him ask you again. Do it the first time and don't be an eye pleaser. Do it from your heart.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, Colossians chapter 3, verses 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. So does that mean just the Baptists, the Presbyterians? Nope, that's us. He's not a respecter of persons. And we're talking about not just in the natural, I'm talking about your spiritual walk too, amen?
Right.
That means whether you're mopping the floor, if you're doing technical work, if you're doing schoolwork, you do it as if you're doing it for the Lord. And we'd be foolish not to, because we'll be the best of the best. You think of it. We should have the absolute cleanest floors anywhere. Because our sisters, while she's mopping that floor, she said, I am doing this for the Lord. She mops that floor. Now, if you're doing it for me, she'll do it to a level. But she loves the Lord more than she loves me, and I'm okay with that. Amen?
Right.
If we're the husband, if we're doing the job, and we're doing a job, we don't want to do it just for my employer. I want to do this for the Lord.
Right.
And that means I'm going to conduct my business. I'm going to work as if I am doing this for the Lord. I want to do it in a way where the Lord can put his seal of approval and say, I approve the way you did this work. But if you build a house, you've got plumbers, electricians, all these things that work on this house.
you've got an inspector that's going to come in, and he's going to have to sign off on this, say, I approve of this. I want my work to be approved of that. Let's take it to the spiritual. My walk with the Lord, I've been given a wonderful, wonderful message. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Been given a wonderful, wonderful message to show me how I can walk this walk and take a rapture. So we're not talking about this is how I can walk just to be blessed on this earth. We're talking about this is how you can become who you really are. The Lord has given you a message of the hour to you can truly identify yourself just like that little eaglet that was in the barnyard, heard that mama eagle scream. Because, you know, before that, he kept saying, this ain't me, this ain't me, this ain't me. But all of a sudden, he heard a cry because mama eagle come looking for him. And that eagle heard something, so I said, that's me. God has given us the tools of everything that we need to become that. To manifest that. Because we're already that. We're already an eagle. But that the tools that we have been given gives us the ability to pull out of me what I'm supposed to be. Now think about this. God had, before time, he was a potential of a savior. He was a potential of a comforter. He was a potential of a father. He was a potential of all these things. But he wasn't one until it come manifest. And that's the only reason the devil can do anything. It's because God allows it to take place. It's because God knows that's the only way he can truly manifest his attributes of being a savior, of a redeemer, of a comforter. That's the only way God can manifest that is by using the devil. He's a defeated devil. There ain't nothing he can do unless God allows him. And the same thing for us. That's the only reason the devil can do anything to us is because God is going to bear out of us what we are.
Right.
I am the bride of Jesus Christ. But potentially, I look like a bride of Christ. Potentially. But you know what? Manifestations have got to take place to where I manifest. I am the bride of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And the one way that is I will be true to his name. I will be true to his word. It's okay to walk with your husband at one time. But you know what? Down Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, all the way down. That's wonderful. But you know what? As God gives more seed, you've got to be willing to take that seed and say, yes, Lord. And the greatest thing that a wife can ever do for a husband is to manifest his life. Is that right? That's the most wonderful thing you can do. That's a man's mission. That's his thing. Man sits out as a young boy fishing with a fishing pole out there. He's thinking, one of these days I'm going to sit with my boy. I want to teach my boy these things. Come on, brothers.
Amen.
You think to yourself, one of these days I'm going to do these things, but you got to have a wife to be able to do that. And the greatest thing that a wife can do is manifest the life of her husband and be true to his name. And I'm going to say this way, don't use the name of the Lord in vain. You know what use the name of the Lord in vain is? There's a way of using it for the cuss word if you can say those things. I'm going to show you something else. The name of Jesus Christ. My name is Daniel Black. I conduct my life a certain way. I live a certain way. My wife will live under that. And my wife will manifest Daniel Black. And everywhere she goes, people ought to look at my wife and see Daniel Black. If she don't, if they don't, and if my leadership says, I am using this, this is the way I conduct my life, this is me. If she says, I'm not doing that, I'm living this over here, she is using my name in vain.
Right.
Because my name is the life that I live.
Right.
That's the life of Daniel Black. And we as the bride of Jesus Christ, people were saying, well, I will use his name, but I'll eat my own bread. I'll do my own thing. Mm-hmm. You can say what you want to, but the Lord will not put up with that.
Right.
The Lord will put his name where his word is, and we will be where his word is. That's how we know he's with us. Listen, I listened to Brother Brandon last night, and probably about 12:30 this morning. Brother Brandon, I heard him say this. He said, recognizing the presence of the Lord. He said, if we could only recognize the presence of the Lord is with us, he said, and he is here. He's willing to manifest every thirst, every need that you have need of. He is here, but you have to have faith in his presence that's here. Mm-hmm. Amen. He's here. And he wants to manifest those needs. Could you imagine a person being with a pitcher of the most precious filtered water that you could ever have and be so thirsty? And walk around and have the pitcher right in their hand. Walk around and say, I'm so thirsty. I'm so thirsty. And set the water down and grab a Coke or something and just pick the water back up and just walk around. You'd say, if you was to see this person, you'd say that person is out of their mind.
But we have the precious message of the hour, guys. Brothers and sisters, well, we have the true living water for our hour. We can walk around and have it, but we not just having it is enough. We need to drink this water and say, Lord, help me manifest this inside me, because I've got a deep call inside me saying, I want more peace. I want more joy.
Amen.
I want more victory in my life. Am I the only one who wants it? Brother Tim, who else wants victory in your life?
Amen.
So you know what? I am walking this walk. I want manifestation in my life. I want to see this thing inside me on the outside. It's so precious on the inside, but I want to bear it on the outside.
Amen.
You got a husband, you got a wife. She said, I love my husband so much. I want to be the best wife I can be. Let me show you, sisters. Let me show you something. You love your wife and you conduct yourself in such a way to where he has no excuse not to be the best he can be. If he falls, that's his own deal, because I have done my best. I have done everything that I needed to do, not out of just works, but from my heart. I am cooking him breakfast with love. I am praying with him before he leaves out of love. I'm doing these things out of love. I am not going to be asked again. I am not going to be slain. I want to do these things out of love. Because he ain't going to fail. And that's the reason I say, if he fails, it's on his own. Because he ain't going to fail. Let's be that bride for the Lord Jesus. I want to be in such a way, friends, where we are so in tune with the Lord, where I'm not being asked again. Lord, the only way this rapture ain't going to take place is if you fail. Guess what? He ain't going to fail.
Amen.
So that means I am going to do my best. What's my best? That means I'm going to sanctify my heart in his presence. I'm going to say, Lord, search my heart today. Help me to walk in your will today, Lord. Help me to manifest this on the outside, Lord. Because this is the real me. Not my failures, not my faults. This right here. Amen.
Amen.
I love being a believer. I love it.
Whether you're mopping the floor, doing technical work, doing your schoolwork, do it as if you're doing it for the Lord. If you want to do your business in such a way the Lord can sign off on whatever you're doing and say, I approve this. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to go verses 1 through 17. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. But listen to this. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. Wives, I want to say this. Wives present a humble, meek, quiet spirit. And I'm going to say this as fervently as I can to you. Wives, back your husband up. Wives, back your husband up. You stand behind your husband. And maybe you don't quite understand exactly what we're going to do. You stand behind your husband and say, I am backing my husband 100% because I believe on his name. I believe in who he is. Amen? And I'm going to say that as the bride. Bride, back your husband up. We have got a message that's been given to us. I don't care what the peripheral view looks like on these things right here. The message says we're going to take a rapture. You back your husband up and you say, I believe it. I don't care what it looks like. I believe in the name of my husband. I believe on the name of the Lord. We are going to take a rapture.
Right.
I am walking in what he gave me. I'm walking in everything he's given me. I'm walking under his name. I am going to take a rapture. If you have need of healing, I am going to believe on the name of the Lord. I'm going to back him up. I may not feel good. I may not look good. I'm healed. You back him up. You stand behind him and say, I believe his word. And you see if God don't honor his word. He will.
Yeah.
Amen.
Respect your husband to the point of being your Lord, provider, protector, comforter. When the bills pile up and you don't feel secure and you don't feel the affection from your husband, don't look somewhere else to fill that void. You come God's provided way. This goes for the church as well. If you don't feel the Lord and it feels like you are all alone, you stay true to your husband in a provided way. Don't take any other leadership over your husband's. Don't run to mommy and daddy every time you have a disagreement. I'm talking spiritually as a church. If your daddy tries to give you a different leadership than your husband, you stay with your husband as long as he is in the Word. You say amen.
Amen.
I remember Brother Branham talked about the two couples one time. He went to the rich couple and the poor couple. The rich couple, he went over to them, and I won't go over the whole story because I think everyone knows the story. Everybody knows the story? He went to the rich couple, and they absolutely hated each other. But then he went to the poor people. He said they didn't have a car worth anything. Pulling up, she barely had any clothes on, and Brother Branham was going to interview her because Brother Branham was going to marry him. And because Brother Branham told them, said, "You go to my brother, he'll marry you." So they went to him, and this is what Brother Branham said. He said, "Are you going to run home to mommy and daddy every time you get into a little spat?" I said, "No, sir, I'm going to stay right." Or he said, "If things start getting tough," I said, "No, sir, I won't. I'll stay right with you." Seriously? Are we going to run away from the message every time it gets tough? We're going to try to run back to Egypt? You know, the children of Israel were set free.
Right.
They were set free. These are people that endure a physical beating. Not like we got. We're talking about a man beat them on the back with a whip.
Right.
And God was setting them free, and they were going. And then because the trials got hard, they said, "Let's go back." And the garlics weren't so bad. You know, I kind of like garlic in my beans.
She does too.
But I ain't going back to Egypt. Well, I'll tell you what, dude. We'll get the garlic and kick Egypt back. We'll just go. You know, they were being set free. They could have walked, and they were something inside that said, "Let's just go back. Let's go back to the way we was." Now we're talking. I am drawing a line in the sand for you today, for you to step across. Say, "You know what? I am putting my stake in the ground. I am claiming everything that's mine. I'm stepping across this line in the sand. This day forth, I will not be asked again. I am going to serve the Lord with all my heart today. From this day forth, I am going to pray. I'm going to persevere. I'm putting God first in my life today. I'm putting the line in the sand for you." Who wants to walk across the sand with me?
Amen.
Say, "You know what? I am persevering." And you know what? When you're persevering, it gets tough. You don't quit. If I was a coach over my kids, boy, they'd hate me. You know why? A coach would be the hardest on you because he knows what's in you. I'm your coach today. You're going to hate me, or it's all over with, but you'll love me when you get over there. When it gets tough, it's not time to quit. It's whenever it gets tough, that's whenever you got to start really persevering. Because you know what? You got to get past that sound barrier. I remember, we don't hear them as much anymore. Or I may be going deaf. Who knows? I remember when I was younger, we would all be out playing, and all of a sudden you hear a plane come through, a jet, and all of a sudden you hear a loud boom. And this plane broke its sound barrier. And everybody stopped. And everybody looked. And said, "Wow, it broke its sound barrier." We have got to break our sound barrier. Because once you break that sound barrier, it's unlimited how fast you can go. You can go just as quick as you want to after that, but you got to get past the sound barrier. And that's the way it is with us. I'm preaching these things not as though I've attained these things, but I am pressing towards the mark in Christ. I'm saying this is where we got to go, guys. But we got to press, that there's something holding us back. You keep pressing until you break through that sound barrier. And once you break through the sound barrier, it's unlimited how high you can go, how fast you can go. Because you ain't even listen to sound anymore. The sound's what gets you. You start worrying. You know, we used to have a horse. It's a quarter horse. And this horse, it was fast, but it was crazy. I'd get on this quarter horse, and we named her Blaze because she would blaze like fire. Get on this horse, we'd be running across the pasture, and she'd run, and she'd see something over here, and she would just turn 90 degrees really quick. And then I'd go that way, and the horse would go this way. And we never wore saddles back then, and we always just wore, forgive me, I'll just tell you the truth, we wore cut-off shorts, and that's all we wore. We didn't wear a shirt, we didn't wear shoes, we didn't wear socks, we didn't even wear a saddle. Sometimes we didn't even have a bridle. We just get on top of the horse, and I'd be riding that horse, and I was going full speed ahead. I was feeling the breeze. I was looking at the goal because we were going to the pond. And whoever got there first will get the fish first, get the first cast in. And every young man knows that's important. And I was riding this horse as quick as I could. And I was like, "Yes, I'm winning. And next thing I knew, I was on the ground before I realized what happened. Horse went that way. I went this way. I was in cactus.
all over me, head to toe. My brothers, they laughed. And I was like, help me out.
I ain't touching that.
But that horse was fast, but it would get distracted. And then my dad, he had this bridle we put on his face, and it had little blinders on the front of him. And you put them blinders on that horse, he was giddy up time. Because you could sit that thing, and you better hold on, because you'd be sitting on the ground, and he'd take off. That's how fast he'd take off. I'd sit on that thing, and I'd hold on, and I'd be halfway on the back of the horse, trying to grab the mane, and try to squeeze up and just take off. Because I had to put the blinders on the horse. And friends, we need blinders.
Right.
We need to put blinders on us to where whenever we're going, we're not turning every little thing. Because everything, there's Facebook, there's Instagram, there's this going on, this going on, there's this going on.
Right.
All kinds of distractions.
Right.
But we need to be focused. I wish I had brought a message book up here with me. But we'll just imagine a message book in my Bible. And these are my blinders.
Right.
Amen? And I'm focusing. I'm going to keep my message. I'm going to keep my Bible. I'm going to keep it before me. Because when you do that, you can be focused on what you need to be focused on. Because the devil is going to try to pull you astray. Amen. I won't be much longer. Just try to grab every part of the service, okay? Be your husband's helpmate. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, and as long as ye do well and are not afraid with amazements. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Think about how she needs to be comforted, brothers. She needs to be loved. She needs to be assured that you're mindful of her needs. Be mindful that the devil will try to get her to doubt the provided way. Sometimes she just needs a hug, to be reminded that she doesn't need to compete with the world to be the apple of your eye. Say amen. We don't have to have a new building to have the Lord's attention. Brother Branham was talking this morning. We were listening. Brother Branham talked about he went to Tommy Osborne. And Brother Tommy Osborne went to him and wept and said, Brother Branham, he said, you are the reason I've got all this. Because I followed your message. I had seen what you had done and I followed this. This is why I have this. All of his great works that Brother Osborne done. Then he said he went over to Oklahoma and he said, Brother Oral Roberts. He said, Brother Branham, gave him a hug. He said, Brother, he said, you're the reason that we've got all this because that's where it all started at. He said, these are things I have, this great, humongous building. And Brother Branham said, I've been to Hollywood, different places. He said, there's nothing that would compare to the building that they had. Brother Branham said, he looked at those things and he was walking, doing the tour through that, and he got off by himself. He said, certain brother was with him. That brother left. Brother Branham said, I was sitting there and he said, I looked around. He said, Lord, these men have all these great buildings, these great works. He said, and they say that they followed after me. He said, and look what I've got. He said, I'd be ashamed for them to come. He said, because I got a little trailer with a little typewriter at the end of it. He said, that's all I've got. He said, Lord, he said, what have I got to show? And the Lord said, I am your portion. Don't be discouraged over our building, friends. Because the Lord is our portion. That's not putting anyone down to have them. Thank God for that they have it. But that's not going to be I've got my blinders on the right thing. I'm going to focus on the Lord is my portion. Because you know what? If we go in the rapture before the service over, who cares about billing?
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
The Lord is my portion. When my wife comes to work, and this is for you sisters. When my wife comes to work, she'll usually stop by and she'll drop and give me a cold drink or something. My wife, 99% of the time, does not have the time to sit and do the hair and everything and make everything look fancy. A lot of times, she's got her hair in a bun. She's on the fly because she's getting this taken care of, and she will stop. It's like, I just thought of you. I thought you might want something golden, Greg. I said, I sure do appreciate that. Her adorning wasn't of gold and all these things like that, but it was in the midst of her struggle, of her battle of life, in the midst of all that, she said, you know what? I bet my husband's thirsty. I'm going to stop what I'm doing. I realize I've got a lot to do. I'm stopping. I am going to go get him something cold to drink. And she'll bring me something cold to drink. And every time she leaves, God said, man, you are so lucky. I said, brother, I ain't lucky. I'm blessed. You say amen, brothers?
Yeah.
Because a lot of these the guys that I work with, they have women that look like the Hollywood, but they don't cook.
Right.
They don't clean.
Right.
I don't know what they do. Other than shop as broke as they are all the time. But that's the character of a beautiful wife.
Right.
You sisters, remember that. You are the apple of your husband's eye. Amen. And in that same thing with us, with the Lord. Now, almost finished here. Let's just finish this one scripture. Verse 8, the same chapter. Finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing. Knowing that you are thereunto called and that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love his life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. Listen to this. This is for me. Refrain your tongue from dirty jokes, gossip, negativity, a negative influence. People respect what they see until they hear something contrary. A man speaks from the abundance of his heart. Think on the good things. Think on a good report. Let's go to verse 11. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now, stop and think about this. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. And a righteous man is not a man without faults, but he is a man that will confess his faults. So the eyes are on them that will confess their faults. So when you're walking through the Lord, how many of you want the Lord watching your every move? I want him on the move. And the way you're going to do that is you confess your faults. Say, Lord, help me, because that is a righteous man. That's according to what Brother Branham said. If you want God to answer your prayers, confess your faults, walk upright, and think on things of good report. Wives, do not fret. Husbands, do not fret. No matter what comes your way, confess your faults one to another and think on things of a good report. Let's go to verse 13. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? And if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of hope that is in you with a meek and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. And I want to say this, just a couple more comments here. Keep yourself at a vantage point of seeing your hope is in the Lord. Potiphar's wife lied and accused Joseph of attacking her and sent Joseph to prison. And even in prison, Joseph had mercy. When he was in prison, God had mercy. Let's go to Genesis chapter 39, verses 20 through 23. And Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoner was bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Joseph was bound for prison either way, but because he sanctified the Lord in his heart, the Lord was able to bless him. If he would have laid with Potiphar's wife, not only would he be in prison, but he would have sinned against God. If we will sanctify the Lord in our hearts, even in our trial or our prison, I want you to listen to this. If we will sanctify the Lord in our hearts, even in our trial or our prison, we can be blessed to the point of everyone around us will have nothing but good things to say about us. They would be ashamed to speak anything about us. They will say, I don't agree with him, but God is with him. Brother Brenham, at one point, this man was bashing him really hard because Brother Brenham preached divine healing. And this man was very rude to Brother Brenham. Brother Brenham said he preached divine healing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
And this man would bash him to the point where he said, you know, at one point he said, I'd hang his skin on the wall. Think of it, a brother would say those things. Brother Branham come right down. He said, I want you to come down here with me. He said, you're saying this is wrong. He said, let's see who's wrong. And you know what? In the showdown, the man said, you know what, Brother Branham, you sure do got the Spirit of Christ. And Brother Branham said, well, which is it? Am I a devil or am I the Spirit of Christ? Brother Branham, God put Brother Branham in a place where God stood with him in the midst of adversity. And friends, you may feel like you're going to be in a midst of adversity. The Lord will stand with you. Let's all stand up. In the midst of adversity, the Lord will stand with you.
Amen.
And it's during the midst of adversity, that's whenever the real trial will take place. You know, I've preached some things. If you don't mind, let's just bow our heads for just a moment. And let's not get into a big hurry. I've preached on some things right now. I know it probably get right in your tater patch. I know it does mine. But you know what? Don't let that devil hold something over you. I said I'm putting the line in the sand this morning. Everyone that wants to walk across this sand, you walk with me. And you know, I've seen probably everyone raise your hand and say, I'm going to walk that sand today. Friends, if you need help and you say, you know what, I feel like I'm at a standstill. I can't seem to break the sound barrier. I want you to break the sound barrier this morning. He's here. And it's not because we feel him, not because we see him, it's because we have his word. I have given you his word this morning. And his word will stand the test. If you're fighting the battle and you say, you know what, I'm at a standstill, I need help going forward, why don't you just raise your hand up right here before the Lord. Every head bowed. And the Lord sees your hand. I want you to have victory today, this morning. And you can claim that victory right where you're at, or you can come up to the front and I'm going to pray with you. I will pray with you through this sound barrier. If there's anybody that has need of prayer that you want to come forth, every head bowed. I want you to come forth. Say, Brother Daniel, I am breaking the sound barrier today. I'm coming forth. Anybody has want to come forth, I'll open the altar for you right now. No emotions. Just you before God. Let's go before him in prayer now. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. And Lord God, I have given my heart to the best of my ability exactly the way you told me to speak this morning, Lord. No devil, towards the end, he was trying to tell me the people are getting tired. The people are getting tired. You got to quit. Lord, I know this is what you told me to speak. And Lord, I've given it to you. Lord, I've done my part. Lord, I've spoken the word. But it's up to you now. Lord, because I can't break the sound barrier, but you can. Lord, you're the one that called me to this message. You're the one that called each one of us. And Lord God, you're the one that paid the price. Lord God, we asking you, break this sound barrier this morning. Every hand that's gone across the building, Lord. I ask you, Lord, intervene even right now, Lord. Go into their hearts, Lord Jesus. And Lord, may they not look for just a warm oil or anything like that, Lord, but simply faith in your presence, Lord, because you are here. Your word is here. Lord God, I'm claiming the promise of this word and saying, Lord, the thing that may be trying to hold me back this morning, Lord, their hand up. I ask you, Lord, go to that hand, go to that heart, Lord Jesus, and visit them, Lord Jesus. Search their hearts, oh God. Lord, shake the mountain this morning, Lord. Lord God, shake the rocks that would try to hold back that old life, oh God. I call on the name of Jesus Christ this morning. I ask you, Lord, the same God that I've seen do such miracles, oh God. I ask you, Lord, do that one more time this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. Ask the musicians to come forth. Father, we're bowing ourselves in your presence this morning. We're humbling, coming before you, Lord, and saying, Lord, here am I. Lord, help me to walk in the integrity of this word, Lord, that you've given us today. We need you, Lord. As Brother Tim gives us a song.
There's nothing like truth. Amen. Nothing like, no one, I think like Brother Rodney would say, there's nothing like a guy that knows what he's doing when it comes to a skilled trade or something like that. But, you know, there's a way that this gospel works. And if you try to use it the wrong way, it won't work for you.
That's right.
But there's a right way to make it work. And, you know, I'll just use a chainsaw as an example. A chainsaw is a powerful tool. You can do a lot with it. Very powerful. But if you use it the wrong way, you can injure yourself or someone else very badly and possibly die because of it.
Right. Yep.
But now, how many's ever cut your leg with a chainsaw before? I got one hand. Okay, I was expecting there wouldn't be nobody. But now, so all of you that have never done this, are you convinced that a chainsaw is a powerful thing? But you're also convinced that if you use it wrong, you could hurt yourself.
That's right. Yeah.
Right? Easy for you to accept that, and you've not even experienced it, right? Then why is it so hard for people to believe when your minister stands up here and tells you the right way to take this gospel and use it, and if you do it another way, you got bad consequences? Why is it so hard for people to accept it that way? And this goes to show you that there's a spirit behind getting you, keeping you believe this word, right? Satan's behind it to try and keep you from believing these truths.
Yeah.
And so we just have to remember that. But we, and hopefully, I know the grown-ups do this, and maybe the young people haven't seen this in their life yet, but you hear us say it all the time. You reap what you sow. It's in the scriptures. Mm-hmm. You will reap what you sow. And if you sow good things, you'll reap good things in your life. And I'm not talking about just your Christian life. I'm talking about your walk in life. If you sow good seed, you will reap a good harvest. If you sow bad seed, you're going to reap corruption. You're going to reap a bad harvest. So, and this word is right, but you've got to apply it right. So if you take the word and apply it to your life, you will reap the benefits of God. But if you do not do that, you're going to reap corruption in your life. So when a scripture tells you how to find a mate, if you abandon the scriptures and you go a different route, you will reap corruption in your marriage.
Yeah.
It's going to happen because Satan's going to see to it. And you can take anything you want to. If it's the way you dress, the way you act, anything you can find in the scriptures. If we abandon the word of God and start sowing seeds like that, we're going to reap corruption. We're going to reap bad things. And the reason for this is, you know, because What I'm trying to get to here is I want each of our young people to understand this, that this works without fail. If you want a happy life in front of you, you stay with the Word of God.
Amen.
Because if you deviate from the Word, you will have one sorrow after another. Now, if you serve God, you're going to have all kinds of trials and things coming your way, but you're going to make it through it just fine, and you'll be happy all through it all. There's a joy of the Lord that you will have, even though things go bad, there's still a peace of God that passes all understanding. And so, if you deviate from the Word of God, then you're going to reap bad things. But if you stay with it, you reap good things. And your life is going to matter down the road by decisions you're making right now. And that's what I'm trying to get to, because God is the Lord of the harvest. Okay? And so, He's the one that oversees the whole thing. And, you know, the scriptures say that one will plant and another water, but God gives the increase because He's the Lord of the harvest.
Right.
So He's watching over what you're planting today. And He's watching over what you're planting tomorrow and the next. And He is Lord over that harvest, and He's there to make sure that that crop doesn't fail. Mm-hmm. So what you sow, that's what's going to come forth.
Yeah.
Right? So it does matter what we do. And what I want our young people to understand is that if you want to be good down the road and have happiness and the peace of God and the joy of God, you've got to start now by sowing the right seeds in your life. And that is to honor the Word of God, which means that you do the things that it tells you, and that you give yourself to prayer and to the Word and to separating yourself from the things of this world. Like Brother Daniel talking, put them blinders on. And that's what we all need, even we. Ministers,
yeah.
We need blinders on,
yes.
The Word of God, Holy Ghost blinders, to make sure that we don't get distracted from what's written in the Word with something else and somebody else's opinion, or what this person thinks, right. Or what that person thinks. You don't want to do that. So we want the blinders of the Word of God, and it's a good example. The Bible and the message book, just put those right there. So that's keeps you straight and focused. And so, but you want to sow good things because he's the Lord of the harvest. Amen? And so, I know people in my family and different ones, the ones that used to pay their tithes, and I've seen them stop paying their tithes, and look, I can tell you what happened.
Yeah.
Right? People who wouldn't pay their bills, I can tell you what happened. Mm-hmm. Right? And so, you see people who stop praying, stop reading, you could see what happens.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so, I was reading this morning, it was about 5 o'clock this morning, I was reading this little booklet I picked up over in Fort Smith yesterday, and it's got some quotes from Brother Branham, and it's about prayer. And he says here, this was in 1953, he says, if you turn Jesus down at your home and quit having family prayer, quit having family Bible readings and so forth in your home, look for trouble to come.
Amen?
Amen? And so I thought, you know, that goes right with what Brother Daniel's telling us this morning. We have got to stay focused with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because we live in this hour. We were talking back there this morning about how Laodicea is. And I hope I'm not boring you or whatever. And I don't want to take you a long time here. But we live in a Laodicean age, which is lukewarm. Neither hot nor cold. And he mentioned the fact that when we went over there to Turkey, and we went to the Laodicean ruins, and we probably talked about this before, but just kind of rehearse that. But, you know, that place over there is a type of this age right now. And they had the baths, a hot bath and a cold bath, and there was a lukewarm, and, you know, in the hot, you have to pass from hot through lukewarm to get to cold. And so we know scripturally being hot is on fire from God, and being cold is not, you know, and lukewarm is somewhere in between. But that place over there had those baths, and they had the ability to have hot and lukewarm and cold baths, because just north of this place where the ruins were was this mountain, and this mountain was white. And the reason why it's white, we went there, and it was a place called Pamukkale or something like that. You can look it up. And they got hot springs that come out on top of the mountain, and it brings all these minerals out, and it's covered the side of the mountain with white. And that's where that hot water comes down from that mountain and brings it down to this. And they had the baths that was hot. And then, of course, now it's north, and we know God comes from the north, right? He's lived in the north. This white mountain, okay, holy mountain, a pyramid mountain, where the fire of God comes from, right? So his presence, and so there's the whole testimony right here in the Laodicean age. We're standing here, and God has shown us this holy, righteous mountain that if we let that influence our life, we'll be on fire for God. We'll be hot, not lukewarm, right? Even the land over there in the natural is a type of this age, what God would have in this day, a mountain we could look to from where the presence of God would come. Right, and that could influence us, but here we are, and we can either let that influence us, or we can be lukewarm, or we can be cold.
Right,
and that's our choice, but it's a decision we have to make. And it doesn't happen overnight. You don't go from hot to cold just like that. You pass through lukewarmness.
Right,
right, and everywhere around over there, they told us, if you look all in the fields all around, was something called, they call it mustard plant. You remember what the scripture said about faith, the grain of a mustard seed. So here's this testimony in the natural over there. You're standing in what was ruins, where they had the opportunity to be, you know, the fire of God, the hot experience of the Holy Ghost in their life coming, and yet they didn't, and the earthquakes ruined them, and they were all destroyed. And in the midst of all that, all around us was plenty of faith that if we take any little bit of it and apply it, could be like the faith of the grain of mustard seed. Even the natural. See, man can't make this all happen. He can't write that and make all these things and then make this age turn out to be like that.
No.
So that's where we're at. We're standing here right now in this age with this decision. What are we going to do with our experience? Because God is the Lord of the harvest, and we will reap what we sow. And so we want to just end that by saying that you have great opportunity. Amen? Great opportunity to take this message and let it just do wonderful things in your life, because God will watch over his word to perform it.
Yeah.
Amen. But what we want to make sure we do is we need to get back into a prayer. There's another one here. I could read a bunch of these, but one of Brother Bram said, you know, a good Christian will read his Bible and pray every day. One place there he said, at least read one chapter in your Bible every day. At least one chapter every day and pray. And we don't mean just, he talks here, he says, not about, well, we give him about 3 minutes of prayer before we go to bed at night or something like that. That's not it.
Right.
You neglect your mate long enough, it's going to cause problems.
Right.
So don't neglect him. He's worthy of a whole lot more than what we give him. I tell him something, so Lord, there's no way I could ever pay you back, but let me try. Mm-hmm. Right? Let me try. And that's what we want to do. Do our best to pay him back, even though we know we never can, because his life is the only life that's worthy of us living to try and point to. And I like what he said, using a name in vain. I never thought of it that way. Mm-hmm. But that's right. If I want to live for holiness, and I want to live serving God, and my wife wants to go out and live a different way than that, but she wants my name, she's using my name in vain. Yeah. Isn't that something? So here we are in this age, and if we want to be called Christian, but we want to live contrary to the word, we're using his name in vain. Wow. That's something. That's powerful. Anyway, I appreciate what Brother Daniel shared with us this morning. It comes from a pure heart. Amen. And so, you know, sometimes you have services where they don't make you feel goosebumps all over you. But I'll tell you what, the first thing I said, there's nothing like truth. There's nothing like knowing how to make something work. And this word of God is here to work for you if you apply it right. Amen. So we had a praise report that didn't get turned in earlier before service. But this comes from Sister Catherine. And she said, thanks so much for our prayers for her brother. His surgery went great. Amen. And he hasn't smoked since the surgery. Amen. So praise God for that. And she asked that we continue to lift him up in prayer. And we certainly want to do that. So, because you know the devil won't try and bring that smoking back, right?
Yeah.
But let's just believe. And, you know, sometimes it takes major things in a person's life to get them to really line up. And so we want to thank the Lord for that. Remember Sister Pansy, the prayer request that we had there before service. And may the Lord just continue to live among his people as the people lives among his word. Amen. So God bless you. We'll sing another song as we get ready to go.
I'm going back.